It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
All right, what's the report from outside?
I was outside for maybe 3 minutes. I counted 8 Q-tips. It's got to be one person that just throws their Q-tips out the window when they're done using them in their cars.
It's Mike Shope.
One person?
More than one person using Q-tips and throwing them outside?
I don't think I use 8 Q-tips in a year.
I think I've never used 8 Q-tips.
And the Bulldog.
What the hell is going on out there? Q-tips, I don't think I want to work in a place where people like roll their windows down if they're using Q-tips for Lord knows what and just throw them on the ground.
Well, you do.
What, is it the 70s?
Oh, that's not very nice.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Driving on the highway 65 miles an hour. You know, I get a little left in my soda from the fast food drive out the window. Yeah. That was the 70s. Who gives an F about anything?
Throw a burrito out the window.
Nothing matters. 2025, what are you doing?
On WGR.
Throwing Q-tips out of your car.
Sports Radio 550.
Yes, a little bit old school today. Pandemic school.
Yes, yeah. The gear still works.
Don't you love when that happens?
My face looks really dumb and red still.
Don't you love when the gear still works?
With this feed. Yes, I'm excited.
What a moment that
I'm
is.
Excited that that everything, the hookup from the attic with its fancy new windows. I haven't done many shows up here with the windows, Mike. Just football season.
Still and you had this whole episode last week about how they have to stay closed, but you want to open them, but they're bigger, but it's hot, but the rain.
Yeah.
Today's a little bit challenging.
I'm here to monitor that. I have them open now because, you know, if it rains, I'm here to close them. So that'll be fine.
That's lucky.
Yeah.
I am in the, as it's commonly known, Just Call Jed studio, where we're still not sure what the substance is beneath this carpet that's been ripped for 14 years is, but a lot of it today, for some reason, has been kicked up.
Oh, dear. Oh.
So there's just like basically crumbs of carpet. That's a team name. Kind of all around my feet. But I think maybe Josh Allen wasn't born when this carpet ripped. I'm not sure if he was even born yet. Maybe he was. He was a toddler.
It might be close. Yeah.
It's close.
Yeah.
But I think it could be the substance could actually be the shreds of the masking tape that was used, you know, back when George Bush was president to try to fix the situation. Maybe this is pieces of tape or it's piece. I don't know what it is. No. Hopefully it's not toxic.
On one hand, I hope this situation gets alleviated rapidly. On the other, I feel bad to have missed it today. Hopefully it's still in disarray tomorrow.
I don't want it to ever be alleviated unless I get sick. Then probably we should address it because it's right under my feet.
Right.
Well, welcome to James Cook Week.
I suppose that is what we're looking at here. Yeah, I think it. I don't know. In all lowercase letters, James Cook Week. Because I feel like we should be expecting him not to show up for this.
I have been.
I think it would be somewhat surprising, if not flat out shocking, if he showed up for this. So it's the first mandatory thing that he can miss to try to make his point. He'll get fined. But, you know, if he wants to make a point to the Bills, now is, you know, the time to start making it, I suppose. And then I think the reason for the lowercase letters now, though, is because it's still, you know, not even mid-June yet. This is mandatory minicamp. Training camp is the end of July. And whatever that report date is, I feel like is James Cook Week in all caps. And maybe even, like, safety orange. That's a bigger – because this to me isn't a mystery. I would not expect a player in his position to show up for this. But if he wants to or does not want to show up for training camp, then I think that's a different thing.
Is it the same if he's there but not playing? What's that equivalent to tomorrow?
Begins a hold in tomorrow?
Yeah.
That's
like that it, to anybody that's like I still have yet to meet this person in real life. To anybody that's like really worried, then that would probably relax them. Well, maybe that person is not relaxable. I don't know.
Like, right.
Do you know anybody in your life that's actually really worried about whether James Cook is here for anything for this?
Do I know anybody?
Do you think you do?
I don't think.
I mean, you're not quizzing everybody in your contacts.
No, that's right. No, my circle of friends. I mean, they are a lot of my friends. A lot of my good friends are Bills fans, but in a way that wouldn't get to, is James Cook going to show up? I do think for mandatory minicamp, I do think the same friends as we get through, you know, mid-July, if I'm lucky enough to have things come together where, you know, different circles of friends, but the, you know, a boat day and I'm with three of these people. It'll come up in mid-July, I think. Like, if we're out on the lake and we're just talking and whatever, do you think he'll show up for training camp? Like, I think that there's more urgency behind that. This is an opportunity for him to make his displeasure obviously more well-known than it is already, and I'd be stunned if he showed up. Training camp, I'm not so sure I'm ready to, you know. I think training camp is a much more likely place for the Holden.
There is, I'll keep this short, I promise. My all-time favorite show is The West Wing. And my favorite episode of The West Wing is called Hartsfield's Landing. And this episode is partly about this, you know, literally and figuratively chess game going on between the United States and China. And the assistant to the president's chief of staff guy is, it's been a while since I've watched it, clearly. I hope I don't have to listen good, to hear about how I couldn't good, lock that down. Sam Seymour.
Good job knowing the title of one of your favorite shows. Like
oh, my
specific,
gosh.
I don't know the titles. The only title of a show that I've really liked that I know the name of is just because people reference it all the time. It's the Pine Barrens episode of Sopranos.
What about Seinfeld?
Otherwise, oh, okay. What is the masturbation episode?
The Secret. I'm not sure that's right.
I think that might be right.
I'm not sure
I wrote
that's
a term
right.
paper on it. I probably wrote it, but I don't remember.
You wrote a term paper on that episode of Seinfeld?
Yes.
At a
yes.
real school?
I went to Buff State for broadcasting.
Did they have any limitations? No. On what that had to be about?
No, it had to be something from contemporary popular American media.
Oh, wow.
And it was the most popular show on Earth at the time.
Yes.
So it qualified.
Do you still have it? No,
oh, yeah.
You would not. You do?
No, I'll bet I do have it somewhere.
I don't think
I've had hands on
show.
It in a long time, but I'm pretty sure I still
so
have
to speak.
It in a folder somewhere.
Yeah.
yes, so to speak.
Well, again, anyway. It's great when the gear works.
Anyway, so yeah.
So
anyway.
Hartsfield's Landing is about like this chess game going on U.S. and China, and Sam is trying to understand through the president's eyes like what is really happening here, and he's like, "What's our next move? What comes after that?" He's like, "After our next move comes their next move," and it's all sort of like the president is all sort of chill about it. By the way, I did want to keep that short. That section in the middle is not a part of.
No,
my...
I know that was me talking okay. about you know whatever. I got
and I brought
Sopranos and then Seinfeld and then, but we've reeled it back in relatively quickly.
I brought that on. So after our next move comes their next move. And really, like, to the president, it's all sort of, like, you know, going to happen the way it's going to happen. And a lot of things get me to the West Wing, but this does. This is like, yeah, well, this is when he doesn't show up. Before that was when we said a thing. And, you know, before that was when he was on X with his demands or whatever. Like, that now comes his next move. And it really doesn't escalate until, you know, quote, escalate until somebody does something unexpected. Till somebody, that would be Cook not coming to training camp. That would be the Bills announcing or just deciding and not telling us that they're just not going to, you know, do anything for him, whatever. Like sometimes those things get brought out and end up in the public space. That's usually not how things go, and that's not how the Bills operate.
Yeah, I think it'll be really interesting to watch out for. What exactly, I imagine when camp begins, that's the next time. Oh, well, we're going to hear from McDermott tomorrow. I don't know that we're going to hear from Bean with mandatory minicamp firing up. But whenever the GM next speaks, which at the latest, I'll just say safely, will be as training camp begins.
Yep.
What kind, he could speak earlier.
Unless he goes on Oprah.
Right. What? Maybe he'll go on Pat McAfee again. I don't know. Maybe he'll call in the morning show. What sort of... You know, how harsh or friendly? Like, what is the tone, right? Because the tone when he last really talked about this, about the negotiations, was We're leaving it. It's not worth continuing. And so we've got, you know, it was on to the draft. I mean, now the draft, by, you know, the time Bean is talking here, might be 2 months in the rearview mirror by then. But that's the last we heard. It was like, we're not close, and we're not really engaged.
I think he did say something, maybe with McAfee. He did say something later that sounded more like dismissive about any sort of concern.
Okay.
What we think he'll be here, or things to that
right.
effect.
Yeah.
So there was a little bit of a turn back, because what you're referring to was before the draft.
Right.
And there was a little bit after the draft with all that media that he did. Oprah, has the show ever sounded older? The Drew Barrymore show, whatever show it was, he did sound more like, you know, don't worry about it. Like, we'll get there.
Okay.
Maybe even more specific than that, but it wasn't as
dismissive of the process.
No, right,
okay.
Right.
All right. Yeah. I have gotten the sense all along that they expect him to come in, but that's what teams often say when they're talking about a guy under contract, right? Like, he's got a contract. We expect him to be here.
What did McDermott say? He'll be here when he's ready to be here.
Be here when he's
whatever
ready.
That means.
We love him, yeah. So what does that tone sound like? Assuming he misses this week, and there'll be, you know, availabilities, players and coach. I don't know about Bean this week. But we'll get some clues, although, you know, the coach has the ability to sort of duck behind the, you know, I coach the players that are here thing. So I don't know that we'll get much, if anything, to lean us one way or the other. But whenever Bean talks, what kind of tone he has is, you know, going to be very, I think, maybe telling.
You know,
what's going to happen next.
Think about Diggs for this. This is 2 years ago now, and when he was last on the Bills. And it was this week. It was tomorrow, whatever day that was in 2023. It was that day, and McDermott kind of escalated it himself, I'm sure unwittingly, with like, "I'm very concerned," right? Like, but we didn't know then that Diggs was there, and I would think like something weird would have to happen like then for that to happen with this guy, you know, like tomorrow, because probably they'll just do what they usually do, which is kind of downplay everything.
Right.
But that was this week.
That's right. That was mandatory minicamp, first day, media availability. When McDermott spoke, he did incite it.
Are we going to get McDermott to say he's very concerned tomorrow? Or is he just going to talk the way he did last week or 2 weeks ago?
I would guess, well, a couple things that could contribute to this. I would guess he sounds more like he did when he last spoke about it, simply because he, I think, probably realizes he didn't help the situation, the Diggs situation, by talking like he talked.
Okay.
And so I might guess, you know, experience might tell him to sort of slow play this, not, you know, talk about any concerning terms or anything. And it's not saying that might not be that's how I would want to play it, because I still think, as much as this is not ideal, him not coming in for this, I think it is to be expected, and if you get to very concerned now, where are you going to be if he doesn't come in at the end of July? Even doubly more concerned? Leave yourself some concern room is all I'm suggesting for Sean McDermott, and I don't think right now, like we talked about earlier, this is just a barometer of people I'm friends with. I don't get bogged down in whether he's going to – I would like everyone to be here and holding hands and singing songs together and happy. That would be great. But I don't think it's that big a deal if he's not here for this. It happens all the time in the league.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's that big a deal.
I don't think it's that big a deal if he's not in the field week one.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Just – right? Isn't that the point? Like,
right.
That's what's behind the – who knows? Like, we've talked about this so much. But your position, and I would love to hear you challenged on this, but I don't know, like, it's sort of pulling teeth to get anybody to talk about this for me. Like, your position is more like, I think the Bills should do nothing.
Right.
And yeah. I just think there's a point at which they go, okay, well, fine, you know, here, funny using that word for this player, but, you know, just
fine. Right.
Here's $25 million over 3 years, you know, congrats. And it really doesn't hurt the Bills too much, because there are all kinds of different ways to maneuver, and, you know, the cap always goes up. So this is all starting like in 2026 anyway. Here's that money. We like you. Of course, listen tomorrow for everybody and every chance they get to tell you how much they love him.
Yeah.
because it always has to be, we love Jimbo. Right.
Well,
so
the trick about that, like I also think the Bills would probably prefer to get the situation settled and prefer to have him at a number that they would be comfortable with moving forward. I think he does have value for them for, you know, the next season after this and another one or so. So a few years down the road isn't a big deal. He's got to be willing to make that compromise, though. And I don't know, you know, a lot of this could be posturing. This could be, I'm saying I want 15, but I really would take 12.
Yep.
You know, but I don't know that, you know. And so he's got to be agreeable to a compromise. And that is still certainly in the window, but I don't need it. Like I think the Bills are positioned. Again, it's not position A, it's not ideal, but I think eventually the player is going to realize the best way, if I don't want to settle for 10, 11, or 12, I wanted 15, and the best way for me to get that is to get on the field and have another year and shut everybody up. And that very likely comes from another team, because I doubt the price that he's willing to play for the Bills for goes down if he has that year again, like comes to their meeting place. And so I'm comfortable letting him play it out, and I think you have to be in order to play it this way, and I assume that the Bills are.
It's one where I really want it to drag on, at least until July, because I want to know more about how the Bills see it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see if they value, you know, a quote RB1 to the extent where they sort of get nervous about him. And even though, like, they keep saying to themselves, he really doesn't have any leverage, we can franchise him, he doesn't get the year accrued if he doesn't show up, all these different things that they sort of continue to tell themselves, like, he's going to walk in the door, and then he never does. When do they sort of do anything about it, other than capitulate on his terms or something? But, like, could they bring somebody in, or just what would be their next move if they changed how they felt about his level of seriousness? Like, I'd like to know that answer, because I'm not worried about any of this really affecting the season. So for me, like, I can live with that. Like, I'm not, mm-hmm. If it's Allen, obviously it's different. And, oh no, wait, what do we have to do for him? Is it worth it? And that, now we're talking, everything's on the table. If Allen ever got to a point where you knew the same, he might have had the same thoughts, you know, who knows if he does, but they're not, he got his contract redone, but they're not, like, out in the space.
No, people would be lighting candles about that, I might be one of them.
Oh, well,
that would be a very...
We'd have a GoFundMe page for him.
A very...
The poor guy.
Right.
Can we raise $10 million
right.
so that Josh Allen's happy?
Right.
Like, just... Right. That would be so different. And for me, it would be like, okay, well, and this is, I'm not saying this is the Bills at all, because the Bills would probably not be like this. But it would be like, okay, well, the whole thing's shot if he doesn't come in. So what do I have to do? Like, if you're watching, like, my hands are out, I'm sort of in this posture, like, all right, what do I have to do if Josh Allen doesn't want to come to practice? Mandatory mini camp, whatever. It might happen someday. But, you know, we're not there. And just like you would think, most people would think the entire season is over immediately before it starts if he doesn't play. Cook, to me, is almost exactly the opposite, where there's almost nothing riding on it in my mind. Like, it's just, okay, well, that welcome to the starting lineup, Ray Davis, right? Or Ty Johnson, or Darrington Evans, or whoever.
Frank Gore Jr.
Whoever.
Down the whole list, right?
There'll be running backs on teams that are going to get stuck, and bring them in. Like, let's just go to the next thing. And so because I have that attitude about it, which you don't have to have yourself, because I have that attitude about it, I want to see, I don't mean doomsday, but I want it to last.
No, yeah, no, there's always, you know, there's an intellectual curiosity about the running backs, you know, don't pay him, whatever
right.
stance I have about it. Your eagerness to see it taken out for a spin and either validated or blown up in this particular case. I mean, there's, you know, That is riding concurrently with, I just want him to come in and I want what's best for the team because, you know, just get him in here. He matters somewhat, I think. But on the other hand, like, I don't know. I might like to see it without him. But just once and for all locally, we'd have some, you know, at least a flag to plant. And, you know, the ability to say, like, well, that certainly didn't pan out. You know, like they didn't just plug another guy in and not miss a beat. Or, well, they actually did. And it's everybody eats except it's the running back room instead of the receiver room. And it turned out fine.
Right. I still think this is all just for us to pass the time. I think it is the West Wing episode. I think probably Cook will not practice this week if he's here at all. Like, he almost, I've thought, has to go that far for what it is he's said already. He can't just show up for mandatory minicamp on his deal. Like, what's even that? So I think we get through this week and probably continue to wonder what's going to happen. And, you know, I still think it'll probably be a deal that even maybe Cook is ready to agree to. But he's going to take this week off because so what? Practically speaking, so what if he's not there this week? Like, from his preparation standpoint, from his fitness standpoint, anything. Is he going to play in the preseason at all?
Probably not.
Maybe not. Like, he'll be at practice and do some of that, but it'll be very measured, right? Because the number one in July, August is nobody get hurt. And he's a running back, so every touch is like a notch off his lifespan. You know, you'll just sort of, you get to week one, and there he is for Baltimore. And however many reps he's had or touches he's had and all these practices will be probably considered irrelevant, unless he fumbles, and then we'll only hear about how he should have been on the field for minicamp.
Practicing holding onto the ball more,
Yes. I mean, he fumbled once last year, right?
Yes. I wonder, now that I'm thinking about it, I think he does, I'm almost sure of this, he falls into, because of his 3 years of experience, I think he falls into a group of players who can have fines like the ones he's about to start incurring if he does not show up tomorrow, forgiven.
Yes, I believe
so,
that's right.
It's funny, in a way, whereas you could be encouraged if he shows up and, say, starts a hold-in tomorrow. I'm here, right? I'm just here so I don't get fined. I'm here. I've reported. I'm just not going to participate. And whereas if he – and, you know, you think, oh, he's here. Well, that must be a good sign about maybe a contract getting done or something. Well, I don't know. Like, if he thinks a contract's going to get done – and he's got a compromise in mind that's nearer a Bills number. Like, if they must have some ballpark idea, I would think, from negotiating as badly as it may have gone. You got some idea where you stand. And if you think you'll take that number, then incur some fines and just have them forgiven. Whereas if he's not here and doesn't settle it, then he's going to have to pay that. And I don't know, maybe that's a sign. Do you follow me? It's a little backwards. Like, him coming in would be peaceful, but it might not necessarily mean a contract, because he might just be trying to avoid having to pay the fines.
Maybe.
That could be forgiven if he gets a deal done and misses.
Go to Spain and drive as fast as you want, because you know that when you get home, you're not going to have to pay for it. Just don't hit anybody.
People we know have done this.
Easy game.
Yep.
Mike Schoep and the Bulldog will look for your calls as we go through the day, as always, 803-0550. If you have a thought, how important is James Cook? Of course, we've talked about it many times. This is the week. Tomorrow is the day where it becomes more of a real thing if he's not practicing. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back. This is WGR.
But I don't think we'll be seeing him in Buffalo anytime soon. And again, the start of training camp will be the next critical moment. If they don't have a deal done there by then, does James Cook show up for training camp? Does he risk the penalties that come along in the collective bargaining agreement if he doesn't show up? But look, we've seen the Philadelphia Eagles this offseason reward Saquon Barkley. We've seen the Baltimore Ravens reward Derrick Henry. We have not seen the Buffalo Bills pay James Cook yet.
Adam Schefter. That word reward is a trigger for me too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I guess, but we should know not to work like that, as not as a reporter, but as a GM. Like, we should know past performance does not equal future results. Your reward was the money we gave you already. You sign Saquon Barkley to a new deal, not only, if at all, because you want to reward him. I mean, it's the so-called best GM in the league, right? Wouldn't he know enough to just not, is he going to reward all the guys because they won a ring? Like, no, he's not interested in rewarding them. He wants to keep it going. He wants to win again. And so, you know, it's not a reward as much as it is an investment. You're deciding that Barkley is, you know, there's more to it. Like, he's worth enough for you to want to be willing to pay him more and sort of do away with any other ancillary concerns that might arise. And, like, that's the Bills with Cook. Do they want to reward him for 16 rushing touchdowns? They want to invest in him, and they want to fend off any discord. So here you go.
And they want to time it right. Like, right? You don't get stuck on the wrong end of a bad deal. You certainly don't want to disrupt your team in any dramatic way, which, you know, losing your number one running back who did score 16 touchdowns for you last year, you know, could be perceived as a way to disrupt your team. How disruptive it will end up being is, you know, something we would be debating, surely. Although if it doesn't disrupt it much, then maybe there wouldn't be much debate. But I don't know. I do feel like Henry and Barkley both got reward. They both got contracts last offseason and then got more because they delivered. And I feel like that is the very definition of a reward. Yes, it is an investment in the future, but you had neither of those guys needed to have there was nothing pressing there. It just felt like, I don't know, like keeping the peace at some other level that my brain isn't even really operating at. Like, were either of those guys going to be a problem for you if you didn't do it? I mean, I don't know. I also think it is important to point out they play the same position, all three guys, Cook, Barkley, and Derrick Henry, but they do not play the same position the same way. The amount of time I don't know Henry's snap percentage.
Well, he doesn't catch the ball.
Right. So he's not as much like Barkley is way in the 80s, right? Percentage-wise,
snap-wise.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that high, but it's high.
Okay.
But he's a three down back.
Right. And Henry is not, and Cook definitely is not.
Cook is definitely not.
So, like, lumping him in with guys that play that much, I'm at least in the case of Barkley. Again, I want to pump the brakes on Henry somewhat.
So what was Cook? 45%?
40, somewhere between 44 and 47. I feel like it fluctuates depending on what site you look at, maybe.
Last year, Henry was 57.
Okay.
I mean, that's not.
It's not 80. Loads more.
Kyren Williams, I think, was 84.
Okay.
For the Rams.
That might be the number I have in my head with Barkley, and his is probably just somewhere between 75 and 80.
Barkley is 74.
Okay.
So considerably more than Henry.
Right.
And Henry is more than Cook. And Kyren Williams is more than all of them.
Right. And he's not making $20 million a year.
No, not yet. Where's his contract? He's been good.
Is that 2 years? He's 2 years in, right?
No more. So I'll keep this short. Kyren Williams, what year is Bills Rams opening night? 22?
Right.
Kyren Williams takes the opening kickoff of that game, gets hurt on the play against the Bills in week one. First play of the season. He gets hurt on that play. And he was like a last round fantasy dart throw that died on the opening kickoff first game of the season. And so then everybody kind of forgot about him. And the last 2 years, he just doesn't come off the field. What the Rams did last year was give Blake Corum, a third-round pick out of Michigan, rookie, they would give him like every third possession. He would play. Is this what the Bills did with Davis? Kenneth Davis, I mean, a long time ago? Every third possession, it would be Corum, like just by design. Like that was what they did. But Williams, you know, he just played constantly otherwise. So it's 3 years in. Same as Cook.
I was just pondering whether he was eligible for a contract, and assuming he wasn't a first-round pick, then he is.
He was definitely not a first-round pick. Okay. He was a fifth-round pick.
So he's going – he's the same timeline as Cook then.
Yeah, I guess. And last year he was, what did I say, 84? 87.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
82% the year before, 87% last year, Kyren Williams. Well, I don't know what his contract looks like or what I have not heard about that for a second, whether they should give him this, the same thing.
Right.
I don't know. Speaking of running backs today, the Texans are signing Nick Chubb. Reportedly, he has passed his physical.
All right.
They have Joe Mixon, I guess, in a walking boot, but they're downplaying it. Just like the coach is downplaying Stroud, who we won't say whether he had his shoulder examined or anything, whatever that is. But they're signing Nick Chubb. They also drafted a player named Woody Marks out of USC, I think, whose name is Woody because he loved Toy Story. And he went on Halloween as Woody seven times.
This. Yeah.
7 years in a row, Woody was his Halloween costume. Now he's on the Texans, which I have never had a costume. Maybe if I got lazy twice, maybe. The Leaf jersey on, whatever. Maybe.
Is there a moment in time, and maybe are we there, where him being called Woody because he loved Woody from the Toy Story movies is not any longer that cool? Like, does he regret it at some point? Like, call me by my name.
His name is Joquavius, which is great.
Yeah.
When he's ready to move to Joquavius, I'm ready too. I'm in.
Or even JQ for short. I
mean, JQ Marks.
You got it going on, man. That sounds great.
Love it. I'm ready.
Woody,
when he is.
As far as nicknames go, Woody is really good, I think. Woody is, a great.
I totally disagree.
Oh. I just think being associated with a cartoon character as a grown man playing football maybe is not tough. Said radio's the Bulldog.
Yes,
he's
right.
Turned 60 in July. Thank you for coming, everyone.
Yes.
Self-awareness moment. Thank you.
The nickname Woody make you think like he'll be a better running back than if he went by Joquavius? No. Woody does not help your brand as a football player, I think.
No, that's kind of what I'm saying. I like it as a nickname, but I'm just not sure. Yeah, I don't know, man.
Give the ball to Woody? What is this? Is this a move? Is this a rom-com? Give the ball to Woody? Don't give the ball to Woody. But actually, he's great. It's like Rudy. Woody is Rudy.
Chanting Woody.
Yeah. Woody is Rudy. Undersized, you know, no name from nowhere who actually is great, and he has to come overcome all the adversity. Every sports movie, he has to come overcome all the obstacles and all the coaches who think he's too small. But then here comes Woody, and he's actually great, and the fans love him, and he's their favorite player ever. Woody Marks. Anyway, Nick Chubb signing with Houston as that backfield gets a little bit more crowded.
We're rooting for you, Nick Chubb.
I'm rooting for Nick Chubb. I'm not drafting him. I'm rooting for Nick Chubb. Very likable, great player for Cleveland who's had big injuries. You know, maybe he still has it. It's a lot to ask.
I think it is. I'm rooting for him. I'm not super optimistic, but I'm rooting for him.
Yes. Have you been – you're not a PFF subscriber, or are you?
No, I'm not.
So they've been doing a series – this spring. Is it okay if I still call it spring? They've been doing a thing where they're redrafting old drafts.
Okay, I've seen this on Twitter, yes.
And today's was 2011. So that's a fun one. That's the Bills picking Marcell Dareus at 3.
Mm.
Right? That was 3?
Newton 1, Von Miller 2, Dareus 3.
That's correct, isn't it?
I think that's right.
And then, like, A.J. Green, maybe?
That sounds right.
So, you know, there's nothing scientific, really, about it. It's just, if you knew everything that was going to happen, who would be drafting whom? What would be, you know, the right pick? And What they did was they said Newton was still the right pick at number one. Best player in franchise history, arguably. League MVP. Took the Panthers to a Super Bowl. Imagine someone doing that. So, you know, Cam Newton still would have been, according to PFF, still would have been the right pick at one overall.
Jake DeLome on line one would like a word.
Oh, my God. Cut his mic. Second overall Denver pick, Von Miller. The PFF redraft pick for Denver was Von Miller.
That's a pretty good job.
Super Bowl MVP was still, like, the right pick at 102. Darius did not end up being the so-called right pick for the Bills at 103. J.J. Watt, instead, was who I could have asked you, but I don't know if you would remember. I don't remember drafts like that, you know, guys by years. But J.J. Watt went 11th in that draft to Houston, of course, and they said, well, he would have been the right pick at 103. I will ask you to guess this, though. Just, you know, without knowing any much, if anything else, about the rest of that draft, except I mentioned Julio Jones, right? A.J. Green, yep. I mentioned A.J. Green and Julio Jones. Patrick Peterson was a guy we talked about then. Yes, we were here. Where would you think Darius would slot in? Is that a question you think you can answer, like take a guess at,
well,
without knowing the whole?
As soon as you brought it up and started talking and said that's the year that took Darius third, I thought, where does he go?
That's the question.
Yeah,
I'm asking.
I think I like the question. I'm not sure. I'm not sitting here with the rest of that draft in front of me to think about it, but I don't think he would warrant. Do you have the whole first round so you know where he goes?
I know the number. Do I have the whole first round open? I may not.
I'm going to say he goes by pick 20.
19.
Okay.
Easy game. He does go by pick 20. Jason Kelce went late in the sixth round of that draft. He's up there. Richard Sherman went in the, yeah, you always have this. In the middle of the fifth round, he's up there. Tyrod Taylor in the sixth round that year, he does not come in above 19. But PFF put him 19th to the Giants.
Yeah. I don't subscribe, so I don't see all the articles. I follow them on social media. And whatever year it was, the year the Bills picked Paul Posluszny, they did a redo of that draft.
Mm-hmm.
And Posluszny was in the first round in the teens.
That's the same then, right? Or was he a second round pick here?
No, it was a second round pick. Yeah, I thought, well, you know, he played a long time and was, you know, a pretty good inside linebacker, I guess. You know, like he just was higher than I would have ever thought he would be.
34th overall in 2010. That's the year before.
I think he went up to, like, he was in the mid, like maybe exactly half that, like 17 or somewhere like that. I feel like he was slotted in. In like mid first round territory when he did the redraft.
I'm on his Pro Football Reference page right now. He's 40. That seem right?
Sure. Yeah.
I always sort of stop at long retired players, any sport, who are like, oh yeah, they're 31 now. They've been retired for 7 years and they're actually 31 years old.
Right.
Oh wow. I guess there's a lot of life ahead. But Paul Posluszny is 40. And he played 45 games for the Bills, 95 for Jacksonville.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of easy to lose track of him. But like I said, when I saw that ranking, I thought, boy, how long did he go? I remember it was close to 100 games down there. Like, that's a solid long career.
Did I say 2010? I meant 2007, his draft.
Okay.
That wasn't the 10. That was the 2007 draft. Where the Bills drafted Lynch.
Right, and then the next year is Whitner, I think, is 08.
Maybe. Okay. I'd like to read the 2007 redo. Adrian Peterson at 7. Lynch at 12. Darrell Revis at 14.
Well, I bet I bet you can find it on their site.
I bet you're right. You've seen it.
Yeah. Well, I saw just a graphic that had, like, picks, I don't know, 20 through 10 or something on it, and that's how I saw Posluszny in a first-round spot in that draft.
Very good. We'll take a break. On the Stanley Cup Finals, George Richards, who covers the Panthers, will join us at 4, get in some hockey today. And later, Brian Koziol will step in on the heels of the Canadian Open. Interesting, long playoff yesterday. I was riveted by that. The U.S. Open is this week outside of Pittsburgh, and with Brian, we'll talk about all of it later on. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. This is WGR. Welcome back. We'll get into the Panthers-Oilers series, the rematch coming up. Top of the hour, George Richards, longtime Panthers scribe, will join us. Brian Koziol later. Did you watch a lot of the golf yesterday?
I did watch a lot of the golf yesterday, yes. The playoff was it was really quite something. This is for a tournament that where the scores were so low, it was interesting to watch them just do the same thing over and over again. Well, it was, you know, three times. It took a fourth playoff hole, same hole. They moved the hole location between the third tries and the fourth tries. I think I've got the timing on that right.
Or the second and the third.
Second and the third it was? Maybe. Okay. But they finally somebody got the three wood out, and the crowd egged them on, and that Fox guy nailed it. So, yeah, finally. But so I watched a good bit of it, yeah.
I thought, and I tweeted this, and the timing was lucky, Sam Burns, they kept talking about how it was like 2 hours.
Yeah.
He was done playing for 2 hours, and I wonder what the odds were. I was driving and didn't track anything in terms of the betting odds, but I would think that when he got in at minus 18 with so many guys still on the course who were, you know, one, two, three shots behind, yeah. Mm-hmm. that he would not have been favored. And then the day goes longer and longer and longer, and each contender messed it up. Cameron Young, he makes an amazing par on 17, goes to the easier 18th, and then blows the second shot past the green, yep. You know, kind of blows it, chunks the chip. And I think if I were Burns, or a better, almost like in the same way, kind of the whole day is, like, he goes to the range, right? They keep showing him on the range. He's either going to a play, in his mind, I think he's either going to a playoff or he's beat. And as the day goes on, it just doesn't come. Like, everybody seems to just mess it up. And Fox, who would get him at the last minute, I think that Fox playing it, he's the only guy left with a chance. His playing that hole is, if I'm Burns, the first time I sort of open my mind to the idea that I'm going to win without having to go back on the course.
Right.
Because Fox's second shot is bad. Like, he has to make, what is that, 15 feet longer to tie. And, like, this is where if I'm the other guy, I'm like, okay, I think I got it.
Yep.
And then he makes the putt, like, oh, no.
Yeah, that's got to be tough. But
finally, yeah. I gave in to the idea that I was going to win, and then this happens, and I'm not going to win yet.
I wonder how closely you watch in a situation like that. Right? I mean, all we see is really mostly, I guess I have seen in other years, footage of a player like Burns was yesterday sitting somewhere and watching some of the, you know, the players coming in trying to catch him or beat him. But mostly you just see pictures of that guy on the range.
Yeah.
Like, here he is. It's been an hour and 15 minutes, like you're saying. Like, eventually it's 2 hours between competitive swings for this guy. But I wonder, like, every shot would, like, it's kind of like if you're gambling on it, every shot messes with you, right? You're overly excited. Oh, he's in the fairway. He's only 160 out. He's gonna, oh, yeah. I think you might be better off if you're trying to keep yourself in a headspace where you might have to go back and compete. Like, riding that roller coaster probably is very unhealthy.
Right, totally.
So I wonder if he just, like, did he par that? What, you know, just every 15 minutes get an update. But, like, watching it shot to shot, I think, would be maddening.
Total, 100%. No way you'd want to do that. But as it gets later, you're standing on the range for, like, an hour and a half.
Right.
I think you'd be like, is it possible that I am going to win without having to go back out? And then, oh, it finally seemed maybe, and then it was pulled. Still, he probably should have won in the playoff, but he, you know, missed a couple putts, whatever. He couldn't birdie that hole anymore.
Did it stand out to you? Were you driving and listening, or were you watching?
For a while, yeah.
Okay.
I saw the last couple hours.
Okay, because, like, I was talking about this with guys I played with today. How hard Immelman was on him when he left that putt short. I think it was the second playoff, the second time they played 18, if not the first. He left a shortish putt short. And Immelman just went like with, I can't believe he did that. Not, boy, you hate to do that. Tough to leave. I can't believe he left that short. It was such a strong rebuke of the bad putt. I just like, wow.
Didn't notice.
That's a little bit more than was needed there. It was a little less gentle than you're used to the golf guys being usually, I think.
We'll talk Oilers-Panthers game 3 tonight after the update here on WGR.